Well, thank you for leading us in singing. Well, it seems like I've heard it several times in the last little while. We, as Christians, live the way that we do, not to be saved, but because we are saved. Or in other words, we are not seeking to gain salvation or even to keep salvation, but because we are saved by God's wondrous grace, we want to live in a fashion that pleases and honors Him. With those opening comments, let me lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our God. Thank you that you have a plan for us. You invite us to be co-laborers with you. Lord God, we can serve you and be a difference maker in our world, in our communities, in our families, solely because we are seeking to live according to your counsel and your guidance. Thank you for the confidence that we have that you will go before us, that you will lead us, Lord God, that you will open opportunities for us to share and to engage in conversation. And this is not for our benefit. We want to be faithful servants of yours. We want to be your children, desirous to serve you. And so, Lord God, we pray that you might open our eyes to the opportunities that will come our way as we seek you and as we desire to be used of you. For the opportunity we have to be able to spend some time this evening, we thank you. May it be a profitable time, not only in our service here, but what is to follow. For the opportunity we have to be a witness in our community through Vacation Bible School, Lord, in that too, we thank you. We pray that that might be a profitable time, not just for the children that come, but for our community. Lord God, we recognize that you have placed us here. This is a lighthouse for you. We have an opportunity to exalt you, to serve you, to be a difference maker in our community. Lord God, may that be the passion of our heart. And so we give you thanks for such privilege. We pray that tonight might be a profitable time for us as we consider a number of different passages, that we might hear your voice, understand your counsel, and live according to your will. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There are many reasons why it is profitable for us to live in a fashion that is pleasing to Him. And one of those reasons is because it's logical. Jesus, when responding to the multitudes in Luke chapter 6, says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" It simply makes sense. If we are to serve Him, if we are to exalt Him, if we are to identify Him as Lord, it only makes sense for us to recognize that position in which we are affirming Him in and live accordingly. That is Luke 6:46, if some of you have been looking for it. And to live in a fashion that is exalting or honoring Him as Lord will make a difference as to how we are to live, how we will live. And then Jesus continues on by giving a very apt illustration. "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrents burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, recognize the context of that. That illustration, we're familiar with that story. That illustration points to doing what he says. That's what it's talking about. Both are identified as hearing God's counsel, hearing God's instruction, but one did it. And in doing so, there is a significant difference. Obeying God is confirmation in keeping with the confession of our heart. Another reason why it is profitable for us to live in a fashion that is pleasing to Him is that it is a testimony to our salvation. In John 13, verse 35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." We're clearly told in his word that we are his witnesses, that we are ambassadors. We have been given a mission to take the gospel to the world. This verse makes a very strong statement as to how we are to accomplish that. By living in this fashion of loving one another, we will gain the world's attention. Also, in living in such a fashion, we will gain credibility for the message that we came to give. "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." So it is logical. It gives us, it is a testimony to our salvation, but it is also our responsibility to do as he says to do. In John 15, verses 12 to 17. Maybe I'll get someone to read that for me, please. John 15, 12 to 17. This is a pretty interesting passage of scripture. I'm sure it's fairly familiar to us all. God has told us what he is doing. His heart is for the lost. And he has communicated not only what his passion, what he is doing, but he has told us what our place is in that task. In Matthew 9, 10 to 13, "As Jesus was inclining at the table of the house, in a house, behold, many of the tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" This is the mission that God has given to us who call him our Lord. Yes, he came to die. He came to die to pay the penalty for sin, for our sin. And we cannot do that. We cannot die for our own sin, let alone for anyone else's sin, to deal with that. But Jesus died for the sin of the world, and we can't compete, Or can we substitute that? Praise God for what he has done for us. And that he actually took upon himself the penalty for our sin. But what we can do is we can make that message known to the world. We can let the world know what he has done. We ought to be obedient in what he asks, or maybe I should say what he commands us to do. No, our lifestyle doesn't save us, but it is a witness and a testimony of our salvation. And because of this, it greatly saddens me when I hear, and I've heard this said, if that's what it's like to be a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. How that must grieve God's heart if that so grieves our hearts. I know that we're not perfect. I know that. I understand that. I identify with that. But we are heading towards that direction. We are pressing on. We are striving to be like him. We are instructed to be holy. We have been commissioned to love one another as he has loved us. We are to even love those who persecute us. Our lives ought to stand apart from those who are in our world. So how then are we to live? Romans 13 verses 8 to 10. And this is the passage that I initially started to work on in developing this message. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandments, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And this passage tells us then how we are to live as it compares to the law. Paul clearly tells us the purpose of the law in Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be satisfied in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And so we recognize, and Paul knew the law very, very well. And he recognized the purpose of what the law achieved. And it identifies sin. In Galatians 3, it says in verse 23 to 26, therefore faith came. We were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which has later been revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through the law, the children of God were kept, were sanctified, were set apart till salvation was revealed through faith in Jesus Christ, through the accomplishment of Christ upon the cross. And the scripture is very clear that we are not saved by keeping the law, but by faith, believing and accepting Christ's death and sacrifice for our sin. Would someone read for us, please, Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 10, please. Ephesians 2, 4 to 10.
God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
To 10? Good. So this passage of Ephesians clearly communicates to us what is the merit by which we are enter into salvation. It is by grace and grace alone. It's not on the benefit of anything that we have done. It's not an accomplishment of any works that we have achieved or apply ourselves to. We are saved by faith, by the grace of God. And having done that, we are to put that into action. Thus, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so as we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we surrender our life to him, we are confident that we are children of God. But that's not where it stops, because it is to be applied to the rest of our life, to the glory of God, as we walk with him and serve him in obedience to his leadership, counsel, and word. So now that salvation by faith in Jesus Christ has come, so then what is the purpose of the law? Well, one, it reveals sin, showing us that we cannot earn God's favor or acceptance on our own. Paul makes it very clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He also says that the consequences or the wages of sin is death. But in that same book, in Romans 5, he says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul adds a little editorial there. Among whom I am foremost of all. This is an amazing statement as we recognize that Paul was a very confident Pharisee. And he pursued that with zeal to live in accordance to the law. And then for him to identify as he saw it that he was the worst of sinners, it really puts into perspective the accomplishment of the law. The law also tells us how to live in community. What is acceptable behavior in society? We can understand why we have laws in our land. We understand why we have need of laws in our land. We need laws to protect each other from one another. We need laws that will fashion to us how we are to live. I was on YouTube the other day, and I was watching some activity that is in driving in Germany on that Autobahn. There's reasons why that isn't common practice in the rest of the world. And we're grateful for speed limits for the most part. But there's rules of behavior, rules as to how we are to live, rules as to how we are to get along, and we have men and women who were well equipped and trained to help enforce those. And when we get into a situation in which we need help because someone is infringing upon us, we have resources to turn to. But Scripture says that there's a better way to live in society than according to law. And that's what we were looking at in Romans 13. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. But if there be any other commands, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if we could live like that in community, in society, for the most part, a police department would be unnecessary. But by and large, we don't live like that. And yet this is directed to us as believers, that we should live like that. But sadly, the world sees the law, and stay with me here, the world sees the law as a means of salvation. And here, love is substituted for law. Love does no wrong to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if we love one another, and in doing so, we accomplish or fulfill the law, because the mindset is that the law saves. Obedient conformity to the law, we are safe in God's eyes. I'm saying that from a world's perspective, not from the Scripture's perspective. From the world's perspective, if we live according to what is right and good and proper, we are safe in God's eyes. But Scripture doesn't say that. What is the purpose of the law? It tells us how we are to live. What is the purpose of love? Well, it too tells us how we are to live. But neither love nor the law grants salvation. They are not a means or a vehicle by which we will be saved. Forgiveness and salvation are only found in Jesus Christ. Love and the law cannot save, because the law and love do not deal with that which separates us from the presence of a holy God. Law and love does not address the sin issue. That is only found in and through Jesus Christ. And folks, this message is offensive to our world. People think being a good guy must count for something. And I'm not going to challenge that. It may count for something, but it does not count for salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You would think if anyone could get to heaven on the merit of what they have done, it would be the disciples that left everything and went and followed him according to the testimony of Peter. But it didn't. They too needed salvation in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Jesus is the way, the only way to the Father. The only hope of heaven. Well, it's good to live by the law of the land. If you do not, then there's consequences to that. And it is good to love one another as we are told to love one another. But that will not get us to glory. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that we can have the hope of heaven. But living in this fashion, which we are told in Romans, to owe no one anything but love, though it won't get us to glory, it may very well open opportunities to share the gospel. Because this kind of lifestyle is not common in our world. If we live according to what God's word says what we will do, doors can be open, opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ will be made available. If we but listen and are prepared for that as our lifestyle fits our message. Now, I knew I was going to be brief this evening, but we're not done. Because I was thinking, well, actually, in talking with my wife, she had recommended that we do this, that we give you an opportunity to share situations in which you have had to give glory to God, to communicate the truth of God's word, possibly even the opportunity to share the gospel because of the lifestyle you have been living. Because what you have been demonstrating, what you have been living, has caught the interest of people that have opened the opportunity to share the gospel. And so I'm just going to throw it open to you. You understand what I'm asking, right? That in the light of how we have been living, we have had opportunity to share the truth of God's word, possibly even the gospel of Jesus Christ. How have we been doing?